Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's Quintessential Listening, Poetry, with host Dr. Michael Anthony Ingram.
Michael, great to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
Oh, man, I am so excited. I am so excited. Well, let's start this journey, please.
Yes. What a weird, strange, long, straight trip it's going to be.
Yes. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, it will be.
All right.
Okay. It is National Poetry Month. First of all, why do you think that National Poetry Month is important? Why is it important to celebrate poetry?
I mean, poetry, you know, it's like the music of life. It's part of just who we are as artists, and especially as poets, and it needs to be celebrated because it's such a good thing, no matter whether you're, you know, getting it out in publication or you're just doing it for yourself or your self-expression. It's a truly great thing, in my opinion,
right,
because you need to. We need to have those outlets. You know, people need to be creative.
I agree, in my opinion. Yes, I agree 100%. What are some of the predominant themes in your work?
Well,
or should I give you work first?
I would say definitely. I celebrate, let's say I am a fan of the happy hour. So definitely. But I mean, seriously, the dynamics between people, hard life, and just people in general. You know, I love to write about the characters in life, and I'm definitely probably one of them. So.
All right.
And, yeah.
Well. Let's hear some of your work.
Okay, let's start this out. In fact, let's start out with a perfect title, Happy Hour. And you can guess what this one's about. All right.
Okay.
I quit drinking. Okay. I quit drinking. My stomach bled. I threw up on a regular basis. People drove me nuts. The world was in the shitter. I was fucking miserable. I went back to drinking. I didn't give a fuck about the bullshit of others. My gut still bled, but at least I had a reason to throw up. The world was still in the shitter, but I was fucking happy. Life choices are simple. Now spend more time living your own than worrying about the opinions of others. Cheers. Well, there you go. I mean, that was...
All right. Oh, I like that. I like that. I like that.
Oh, well, thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Well...
Wow.
You know,
yeah. So deep.
All seriously. All great writers and performers have great writing influences. Who's some of yours and what makes them great in your eyes?
I know that there's the obvious, Bukowski. It just connected with me because I remember I love libraries, and like kids don't know what that is now, but that's where they kept the knowledge a long time ago. And I remember, you know, finding Bukowski, just like I found Jack Kerouac. Discovered, I should say. And a big, huge influence on me is Richard Brautigan, who I absolutely love because he just had total freedom. Because he could do, I remember, you know, I read Watermelon and Sugar, and then I read, I probably mispronounced it, but An Unfortunate Woman, or The Unfortunate Woman, once was another book that was from the end of his life. It just connected. It's whatever that is that those writers have that just connects with you. You know, when you're kind of, because I was really young, you know, talking about, you know, early teens, and it just spoke to me. You know, okay. It was like, it seemed like nobody quite understands, but that just, it just, it's like, yeah, that's it, you know? And that's when, I mean, pretty much I knew what I wanted to do was write. So that's why it's so important to me, Bukowski, Factotum, books like that, just blew me away on how gritty they could be, how honest, and also, you know, they were so unfiltered, you know, they went deep. They didn't mind showing your flaws. In fact, they embraced their flaws. Most of those writers did. And there's a ton of people, as Kerouac, as I mentioned, that I like people who just, they're just there. They bleed like on that page. So it was just so important to me because that's really the people that got me on the road to this. So, you know, I hope that answers the question.
It does. It does. And now that you're on that road, please share another piece of your work.
All right. We're going to go a little bit more serious. I know that's hard to believe, but it's called, this is one from my new book, Sex, Drugs, and Poetry. It's called Nothing Haunts You Like. An empty bottle and a bad reputation. False hopes and forgotten dreams. A past lover's voice on the cold morning. Years lost in a dismal view. Scars from a good time gone horribly wrong. Bitter words spoken out of frustration. An old friend you will never see again. And most of all, nothing haunts you like the truth of a mirror's reflection. Seems that one.
All right. Tell me more about the genesis of that particular piece. Tell me about the genesis.
You know, it's just looking back on everything. You know, those kind of those ghosts we have that do haunt us. And with me, you know, like I have the title. It's usually where I start, and that's kind of what spoke to me. And that's how I go with it. I start with titles first. So
why? Tell me about that process, starting with titles first.
It's just always been a thing for me. I think a lot of things, the titles are extremely important to me, so that I'll just literally write down titles. Maybe that's weird, I don't know, but I think, because that's the first thing that's going to pop, it's the first thing the reader's going to see, and if you can catch them with something like that, it makes them, hey, what's this? They're you know, curiosity will get you. And, yeah, that's what I always start with. I think the title is extremely important, you know.
Right. Would you share that same information with beginning writers, that titling is one of the most important things?
Yeah, certainly. Titling is extraordinarily important, especially, you know, that's the thing. You want the total package. If you have a great title and match with really powerful work, there's nothing worse that a writer can do is have a fantastic write and then, like, build untitled. I mean, that's just, you know, that's like having a beautiful sports car and then having no engine in it. It's not going to do much.
Right.
You know,
right.
The title is what you're going to see. So you can even have something that has nothing to do with the write once I've done. And then you say, hey, what's this? And, you know, you go to it and you explore what it is, you know. So that's, I would say to anybody out there who, you know, they're starting out or whatever, you should definitely title, you know, make it a complete thing. From title to work, it should go hand in hand, you know, because titles are extremely important.
All right, I like that.
In my opinion.
All right, no. All right. And your opinion is very important. So.
No, well, you're going to get laughing now.
It is. It's yeah. very important. It's very important.
Yeah.
Well, poets hail from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And actually someone will be joining the show in May, or is it June?
Mm-hmm.
I think it might be June, from Ireland. So where do you hail from?
I hail from a small little 5-mile island called Knott's Island, North Carolina.
Right
over the North Carolina-Virginia state border. It's a fantastic place. You pretty much want one store, one post office, and one bar. Fantastic. The nightlife is amazing. You should come visit. It's just like, it's like being
it.
In Florida minus anything good. I mean, it's fantastic.
I'd like to come visit. Well, how is living
there? I think
there,
we'd have a great time.
I think we would too. How has living there informed your work?
Actually, that's a really good question. I think having no poetry scene, no real writing supporting type scene once can be bad, because it can be good to have that network of other people around you, you know. I think it the isolation helped me, because then, you know, I kind of developed this, it naturally developed this kind of, this quick wit and everything else, because, you know, I mean, I don't know if people know, but I am kind of a funny person, but yeah. So, you know, it did. It helped me. Obviously, there you go. Good advertisement there, Michael.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. So yeah, it does. It really does. It does. It just helped me, because I concentrated on nothing but the page. You know, there wasn't a lot of distractions. It's not like I had a lot to do. It wasn't like
right.
I was. You know, I was not. I like a lot of people, I was more loner, so I concentrated on the page. And so, therefore, when you – it's like anything. You put 100% into something, you're going to get good results. At least I hope you do, you know. And
yes.
So if you – so that's – for me, that's it was a good thing, actually, you know.
Okay. Well, share another piece of –
Okay, I'm going to share another one. And this is one from, I have to name the books, or publisher will hit me over the head with a baseball bat. This is one from a book that's going to be coming out in Sova Publishing. It's called Once Upon a Nervous Breakdown. This is called Time Travel. Apparently, I went time traveling with a bottle of Johnny Walker again last night. Crashed through the kitchen table upon my return, turning over everything in my sight. I see the phone's off the hook, so I might have done some drunk dialing as well. Blackout drinking isn't just a term associated with a severe case of alcoholism. It's an adventure as well. As I piece together the mysteries and events of last night, who I may have offended, or what the sum of the damage I have done, the new friends I may have made, and pull the fork that was lodged firmly within my ass, as I view the day outside and realize I'm admiring the view of my house from across the street. Well, at least I was smart enough not to wreck my own shit. I may be a drunk, but at least I wasn't stupid. Cheers. There you go. That's what's important, kid. Don't tear your own place up. So, yeah.
Do you sit... I'm trying to be serious.
Yes.
You know, I am
okay,
a trained
okay,
professional.
All right.
I'm a trained professional.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Do you sit and think through every word of every stanza, or do you write freely and allow the words to flow?
I write freely and allow the words to go to flow. You know, I just think it's like... It's like going out in the ocean, you know. When you fight the currents, if you just kind of let yourself go with it, it'll naturally take you in the right direction, in my opinion. You know, now maybe after it's done, maybe I'll say, that doesn't sound right, and, you know, we'll fix something. Don't get me wrong. You know, it's not like I'm not Faulkner or anything. You know, I'm not. But I know you're surprised. You know, I'm not Shakespeare. But yeah, no, I just go with it. You know, if you fight it, it to me, that's the worst thing you do. Just let yourself go where the right goes, where your mind wants to naturally take you. And that to me is really an awesome thing. You know, no matter how deep it is, you know, or anything else, I think it's all internally in there. And so just kind of let yourself go with it, in other words, you know?
Yes. Well, on that note, we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
All right.
Back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with John Patrick Robbins, and if you'd like to call in, the number is 646-787-1631. And actually, John, we've got some callers. We've got some callers.
Oh.
Okay. All right. Right? Well, let's bring someone in.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Area code 912. You're on the air.
Oh, how you doing there? What's up with you guys? Three names. This is Mark Anthony Rossi. Holy moly.
Uh-oh. The boss is called. Uh-oh.
It's like a stadium full of prima donnas over here. What the heck?
Hey, how you doing there, Mark?
I have this guy on there because he's really been writing up a storm the last year or so and really coming onto his own. And I think there's nothing better when a writer starts turning that curve and everything about themselves good and otherwise comes out in the writing, and that's when you get like the sincerest appreciation from fans, and it's also when you get some of the best work. So John's really done a great job. I've had him in my magazine. I'm the editor of Aerial Chart, and I'm very proud of what he's doing.
All right. Yeah,
thank you.
That's very nice. Do you have a question for John Patrick?
Well, yeah, I actually do have a question for him. And the question is this: how do you find the time to have a full time job and 27 magazines, and you're also doing radio shows and putting out 50 books? I mean, how do you do that? Because you really got to have some time management for that. That's a lot for a person.
Well, I've found that sleep gets in the way, so I've actually learned how to clone myself, and you're actually talking to the third clone. My other one's at the job. So, yeah, that's really how I do it. Here's the thing. When it comes to all that stuff, and I appreciate the question, I always wanted to write. So I'm just one of those people that if I stay busy, as much as I complain about it, I am perfectly happy. You know, it's I always want to do this. And luckily I've had some great encouragement from Mark and a lot of other good writers and people. And yeah, it's just what I want to do. So I don't know. Sometimes I wonder myself, but yeah, I think, you know, once you kind of eliminate sleep, you're fine.
No, I hear you. And I agree with your assessment. Like anything, if you really find it's important in your life, you're going to make it a priority, mm-hmm. and you're going to find the time.
All right. I like that. And that is so true. I agree 100%. Well, thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Well, thanks for interviewing this wonderful writer. I appreciate you supporting the arts out there. God bless.
Oh, hey, I appreciate that. Thank you, sir. All right. Yep. That was very nice. Very nice.
That looks
Let's
very
bring
nice.
In someone else. Let's bring in another caller.
Okay. All right.
Okay, area code 606. You're on the air.
Hi, my name is Kat, and I'm calling in. I have a question for John.
Yes.
All right. Hello, Kat.
Hi. I've ordered your book, Sex, Drugs, and Poetry, and I can't wait for that to arrive. But I was wondering, what is your favorite poem in the book? So I'll know which one to start with, perhaps.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. People ask you, it's kind of like, what is your favorite poem? And the truth is, like I've heard another writer say, and a good friend of mine, Ryan Quinn Flanagan, you know, it's, and other people said this as well, it's, you know, they're kind of like kids. I don't really have a particular favorite. I will say there are some writes in the book. The Truth of a Sad Situation is a particular favorite of mine because it's really, it's not a humorous write. It's a true life thing, and it goes really deep. And, yeah, that would be probably one of my favorites. And I appreciate you buying the book, by the way, Kat. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to read it, and I'll definitely check that poem out first.
Mm-hmm.
So, great job, and I've enjoyed the readings you've shared so far, and I like this program. So, thanks for letting me call in.
Oh, and thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. All right. And we've got one more caller, John. One more.
All right.
Bring this person
all right.
in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Area code 660. You're on the air.
It's the Kansas City Rooster, Coyote.
Uh-oh. I know this fella.
I've got a question.
Uh-oh,
for
Michael.
You.
Uh-oh, he's got his drinking buddy on. Uh-oh, we're in trouble now.
I'll close the door if I need to.
Uh-oh.
You sound entirely too sober. Is this on purpose?
Which one? I don't think I sound too sober. There's no breathalyzer on the test here.
No, it sounds great. It sounds great, brother.
Yeah.
I just wanted to call and say hey.
Oh, okay. Right. Hey, Gavin. K.W. Perry, awesome writer and incredible and great friend of mine. So check out his book and his work.
Yeah. Well, maybe
I'm surprised he didn't
read guest on the show. Is he a potential guest on the show?
I think he'd be an excellent guest for the show. Highly recommend.
All right. Okay. I'll be in touch.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. Have fun.
All right.
Cool,
thanks,
man.
Sir.
Thank you.
All right. I think I'd like you to read that poem, A Truth of a Sad Situation.
Okay, thank you. This is a... I'm going to dedicate it to a long-past brother, Robert Lee White. It's called The Truth of the Sad Situation. I remember our conversations most these days, but now my world is empty. We spoke about books, music, history. He was somewhat of a mad genius to me. The best teachers don't exist in the classroom. We drank and spoke for hours at a time. I remember he read the lines before they were much of anything. I made him laugh. They were shit, but he always saw potential. I remember one day, between the drinks, I asked him, "Do you believe in love?" I asked him this as a joke. I expected a sarcastic response. He shocked me when he told me yes. He was a loner from hell. He was vicious in his humor. He had a way with words and never wrote a damn thing. Yet he breathes life to this day within my pages. Some people believe I am drinking myself to death. In all truth, I am just in a hurry to see some old friends. I do not believe that love exists for a person like myself, but I have known happiness at times. I remember you only every second that I breathe. One day, my friend, we will continue that conversation. It's the end of that.
Wow. That was beautiful, buddy. That was beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's a really good friend of mine who really, and you know, he turned me on to so many books. And I mean, he was a teacher, you know. He was a great friend of mine, and then, you know, that's the thing. So yeah, there you go. I know how to bring the room down.
Oh yeah. No, I you're uplifting the room. You're uplifting the room.
Oh well, thank you. Oh, I do appreciate that.
Now, how does a poem begin for you with an idea, a form, or an image? We know that you... How does it begin?
Well, I'm going to tell you. I mean, as far as writing, how does it begin? I'm weird like this. Yeah, okay. the title is definitely first. A lot of times, and see, I know a lot of people will say, write every day. And, you know, God bless them. If that's your process, that's fine. I'll have that title, and I'll walk around with that title, and sometimes I work it out in my head before I ever put it on a page. Smoking at the gas pumps is a great example. I had the title, and I walked around with it, and I never had a poem for it. It's just I had that title, and then all of a sudden I'm going to do a book, and that's the title, you know. But as far as a poem goes, it's really like music is a thing for me. I am just a music fanatic. I love music. I think music and poetry go hand in hand, you know, and of course they do, you know. And so that's the thing. I always listen to music, and then it's the title, and then it's I kind of get the concept, the idea of where I want to go, and then I just kind of sit down. And when I finally sit down, I just kind of go with that flow and let whatever falls upon that page, you know. At least for me, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, share another piece of your work.
Okay. All right. I will. And let's see. I actually let me read something a little humorous because
okay.
Yeah. We hold on 1 second. Of course, I love how prepared I am. So.
Oh, we're sorry. You're doing a great job.
Of course, always prepared. Yeah, no. Let's see. God, I hate to do that. Let me read something that is once again, this is a favorite of mine. And I wouldn't necessarily say it's not a real toe tapper, but let's read it. It's called Another Night on the Ward.
Okay.
I hear the mad scream for escape and cry for the many that ignore and the few that remain. I was in the room, but he could not tell. I did not interrupt the voices. Who was I to judge? I was on hold, a suicide case. I wanted to end the shit. I had nothing and was nothing. I didn't bother a soul. I didn't want to see tomorrow and said so openly. And for that, I was considered insane. Warning to everyone, you can easily be here as well. An original thought scares the vast majority. It makes you stand apart. You laugh where others cry. Never let them know you. Just wear your mask and go with the mindless flow. It's a disease, not a choice. We place blame and cast the judgment so very easily upon others. He spoke of an old lover. He spoke to God. Neither one replied, nor me. I just wanted him to shut the fuck up. Dreams could not exist here. It stank of decay and warm piss. Nightmares saw light, where a vision was left cloudy. Sometimes we find ourselves alone amongst many. I call that space in between home. I needed a drink. I needed out. I said nothing and screamed within, trapped in a room with the man who screamed through the night. Whoever said misery loves company was full of shit. That's the end of that one. Boy, that's happy. No.
No. That's deep. That's deep. That's very deep.
Yeah.
Very deep. And we'll be right back.
All right.
Michael Anthony Ingram. I'm here with John Patrick Robbins. John, you've written 3 books.
Yes,
am I correct?
Yes.
If you had to convince a friend to read your books, what might you tell them?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's no refunds, is the first thing.
Oh, okay. Oh, man.
But no.
You mean
I'm a jerk looking to say no. No, you can't have it. I told you. No free copies.
I
like you.
I wasn't listening.
Huh? But, you know, I will say this. I will say this. When it comes to my writing, like, you know, I joke, but the thing is, when you pick up a book of mine, you're not just getting, you know, humor. You're getting a full gamut. There are, I put fiction pieces in there, and short, and funny, and deep, and that's what I like. I like to give every book, because, you know, I mean, I let's say I just live a little full throttle. Every book I put everything into, and I never have any regrets. I think why do that? You know, go give everything, and any book that I put out there, I give 100%. It's not, I don't, you know, and that's not, and I know everybody probably does, but I'm just, as far as I go, when you get, don't just think it's going to be one thing, because you're never, I'll trick you. I'm sneaky. So, yeah, no, I'll get you with the deep ones and all the kind of different, so there's every emotion in there, you know? So, yeah.
Are your works available on Amazon?
You can purchase Smoking at the Gas Pumps, as well as Once Upon a Nervous Breakdown will be coming out soon. Sex, Drugs, and Poetry is exclusively through Lulu right now. I will probably make it available through Amazon. But, yeah, and please pick up a copy because, you know, the bar tabs, they're not cheap. I'm just saying. So.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
and to be quite honest with you, I plan to pick up a copy because
well,
I'm really
– thank you.
Really, well, I'm really enjoying my time with you tonight, and it's actually – although it's the beginning of the week, I can already tell it's going to be the highlight of my week.
Wow. Wow. Well, you know, you are my favorite – this is my favorite show already. So I'm just saying, because we know, like, you know, I mean, I know. When somebody goes by their full name, that's how I know. That's going to be a good place. John Patrick Robbins, Michael Anthony Ingram. It goes hand in hand. We are just – I'm just saying, we're genius, sir. Yes.
Well, let me ask this question. What style of poetry do you prefer? Freestyle, rhyming, or do you prefer anything?
Hey, like Bruce Lee, my style is the art of no style. No, you know, I love to tell style, so I think it's all valid, you know, and there's lines. I may throw something in there that rhymes, not even on purpose, but if it works, who cares? If it works and it connects with you and it, I prefer just let it go where it goes. You know, I don't have this thing where you can't rhyme. I don't understand that kind of stigma. Because it's all important. It's all valid. Every form of art is valid in my mind. So, yeah, I don't mean to be aloof, but, yeah, I just think I like to go wherever it's going to go. That's just me personally.
I like that.
So, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Please share another piece. Please share another piece.
Okay. All right, here we're going to go with something funny. This is called To My Best Gal. All right. When we first met, my thoughts were broken. And my words fell upon deaf ears. I contemplated suicide, but you seemed far more appealing than a fast ticket out. So I allowed you to consume my existence. We never were apart. Others became annoyed, but others never meant shit to me. We still are together. As I have heard rumors you've been seeing with so-called friends of mine, I never concerned myself with love, for another drink is certain. Maybe that's why we make such a great pair. I wish Jim Beam would sponsor my decline, and I could drink for free. But love is blind, and this addiction is no different than any romance upon the screen, although it's more suited for the floor. Whiskey were a marriage made in hell, till death do us part. There you go.
You know, writers and poets write for a myriad of reasons. Some write primarily to speak a message to the audience. Others write because to stay silent is not an option. Why do you write?
I'll be completely honest. You know, if I didn't write, this is how you know, it's like breathing to me. It doesn't make any sense. You know, if I don't breathe, I'm not, you know, it's like a shark. Right. A shark has to swim or he dies. So I have to. I don't have a choice. It's something I've always done. It's something that no matter what was going on in my life, no matter how dark things got, because things do get dark. I mean, you know, all jokes aside.
Yes, they do.
All, that, I love it. The orchestra's kept kicking in. are we at the Oscars? No. But, you know, no, it's just part of who I am, honestly, and it's cheaper than therapy, and, you know, I owe a lot, or, you know, writing doesn't owe me anything, but I owe a lot to writing, because I also got to meet a lot of great people, like yourself, and be on this awesome show, so, there you go.
you're a very wise man, a very wise man. And,
I agree.
Yes, and you should. How has your idea of what poetry is and what poetry can do changed since you began writing?
That got me there. Don't ask such deep questions. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, that's why they pay me the big bucks, to ask deep questions.
Well, I know. You don't have to be so intimidating.
Okay.
Anyways,
all right, buddy.
But no, I mean, from when I started, it's funny because, you know, when you're a lot younger. I mean, I'm only 18. I know, you know, I look older, but I've lived a harsh life.
Yeah.
No,
I can feel.
When you're younger, you just think. Thank you. Wow. You know, we were friends when it started. No, I'm joking. No, when, you know, when I started, it's like I had this staunch kind of, as you are when you're younger, you just think, oh, you know everything, and you get into it, and you just think, yeah, this is how it has to be. You know, I was obsessed with writing in a certain style, and then, you know, going through life and going through the bumps and bruises and gaining those scars. And I just, you know, it kind of just, you know, it taught me a lot as far as writing goes. You know, I don't really have this set, like, maybe people don't think I have this pinpoint, like, accuracy. No, I kind of know my, you know, how I like to write, but I'll, wherever it goes, I go, and I'll change with it, and I'll embrace it, you know. That's the thing. So, not to, like, it's probably a terrible answer, but I'm trying.
No. that's a great answer. It's a great answer. Please share some more of your work. Share some more of your work. That's what's most important.
Okay.
Tonight.
All right. This is one a little bit more serious, and this is I know that's hard to believe I can be serious, but anyways.
No,
it's called a. It's called A Sad Reflection of What Could Never Be. And it's a little dedication to somebody. They'll know who they are. They don't need their name.
Okay.
I told her she was my Sylvia, being she was a royal pain in my ass. And that's why I knew she was the right kind of crazy. The best ones are always fucking nuts in some way. And if not so already, after being in a relationship with me, I damn sure set them in the right direction. She believed I was a lost cause. I did not know her body, but I understood her soul. Even a fractured loser has some good qualities at times. She was my Sylvia, and I her lovable train wreck. She never missed a moment to hand me a hard time. She was insane, much like myself. She was a writer, and that was something that just went without saying. Madness and writers went together like booze and fools. She drove me half nuts, and occasionally she drove me to catch a buzz. I knew she was fractured, much like myself. I was a drunk, but I was never blind. She was my Sylvia. There you go.
Well, I like that.
All right. Well, thank you.
What? What makes a poem good? What makes a poem good?
It's like you're in, you know, and this is the thing, you know, when it comes to poetry for me, I will never say, even as an editor, I will never say a work is either good or bad, because
okay.
It's like music. You know, when you hear a song, it might not be for you, but there's somebody else who absolutely loves it. You know, it's just all upon whoever's reading it. And if it speaks to them, that's great. You know, I think, of course, now with for me, what I think would make my best work, or the work that I think is my best, because it's only an opinion. Like I said, I might read something and somebody doesn't dig it, and that's fine. I'm perfectly okay with that, because the people who do seem to want to, you know, they seem to want to read more. So that's what's awesome to me. That's the biggest compliment in the world. So, yeah, for me, it's for making a really tight poem is title, of course. You know, and going where it goes, keeping it nice and concise, telling a story, because, like, I just don't type. I try to tell a story, and I think I do. I think largely it's very easy to understand, you know. I mean, I'm not – it's definitely not the Da Vinci Code, I'm just saying.
Right, right. So, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah.
But hey, share another, please.
Okay. Well, all right. This is a longer one. I'm going to read for you, and it's
okay.
In fact, a much longer one. But it should give you a good chuckle, and that's what I'm, because I haven't got you to laugh all night, and I'm very disappointed in myself.
I'm being very bad.
So
okay.
And he's like, shut up and read the poem, John.
All right.
Okay, all right. this one is called Drinking for Gold. Great title. Drinking for Gold. If drinking were a sport, I would be a gold medalist by now. I would make the bars and take pictures with folks who saw me win against well-funded drunks from other countries. I would sleep with women whom would speak of my greatness as I pounded them from behind so I could watch myself beat Russia once again. I would have my pitcher over the bar, and when others saw me drunk, I would say I was in training for the next Olympics. For every day I wasn't drunk was a day some Canadian or Italian or Irishman was kicking them back in hopes to take my crown. I would be captain of the American team, the pride of the country, that could easily kill a half gallon and never once be caught puking on the ground. Little children would ask me for my autograph, and I would ask them, "The fuck are you doing in a bar?" I would take yet another gold and make competitive drinking a global sport. Soon, I would hold records everywhere I went. Then, like all heroes, I would meet a tragic disgrace when they realized I had an unfair advantage, for I was a drunk from a long line of fine drunkards, like a stable of racehorses all groomed to one day run at the Derby. My liver was some alien technology. I would be stripped of all my medals. No longer would people want to have their picture taken with the greatest drinker of them all. Women would reject me. I would be barred from the liquor store. I would have to jack off to my videos of me taking gold in Germany at Oktoberfest. Lance Armstrong would ring my phone crying. I would hang up automatically, for never trust a man with only one ball. People would speak of me in shame as I passed under their breath. God, Becky, he used to be respected. Now look at him, her friend Sarah would say and shake her head. He is so sad now. I feel bad for him. Becky cut her eyes at her friend. Why would you feel bad for that bastard? He shamed his country. He is a cheat. Sarah looked at her friend. Yeah, but didn't you fuck him once? Nothing more was said. And so is the end of the man who was once considered one of the greatest drunks of them all. Wow. So deep.
Well, with that in mind, what do you see as the role of a poet in modern day society? What is our role?
Well, I think of myself. No, I'm not going to be a dick. I don't know. You know, to me, you know, the role of poet is to put out the best, you know, page possible, to put out the best work, to speak for the people who can't, you know, to a degree, for those who, and that's why I like to write about the subjects I do. And yes, some subjects are humorous, but there's a lot of deep as well, you know, and tell all those stories. You know, that's the thing. It's a gift. It's not. And there's so many great poets out there, you know, like yourself and people who that it's an art and it should be appreciated far more than it is, in my opinion. That's just, I hope that answers that. So yeah,
it does.
Because I know
it
I joke,
does.
But I take it serious. I really do take it serious.
I know you do. I have no question. There's no question in my mind whether you take it seriously or not.
Yeah.
I know that you do. You wouldn't be able to accomplish as much as you've been able to accomplish if you did not take it seriously. All right.
Thank you.
Now, when many poets have several words that come up over and over again in their work, words or sentences, they just can't help but use. What are three of your absolute favorite words or sentences to use in your work?
Oh, are you sure you want me to answer that one?
Yes. Do I need to put up a challenge?
God, yeah. Well, this is not children's programming. I thought we were on Nickelodeon, but, you know, we'll get thrown off that network. No. Oh, my God. On a humorous level, I'm not going to say the most occurring word that I actually got asked on an interview one time. They said, "You shit a lot." I'm like, "Well, how is that poetic?" Well, it's not. it's not me being very it's not me being very creative. I'll put it that way. you know, oh, God, that is such a hard question. Why do you have to ask such hard questions? See, you lure me in with your kindness, and then you start asking me these deep ones and start torturing me. Awkward moments with Michael Ingram.
That's right, my friend.
Oh, God. Well, you know, booze is and whiskey is in a lot of things. I hate to say it. you know. Regret. Regret is actually in there a lot. You know, that is a very complex question. There's a lot of words that I use. I'd have to go all over my work. We don't want to do that because that's like, I can't even decipher my work half the time. It's amazing anyone can understand it. So, yeah.
Right. Right.
Regret. Sadness. Sadness is in there a lot. There's certain words that I really like, you know, and I do like to go dark quite a bit in my writing. You know,
okay.
But that's why I throw all the humor in there, because you can't just do that. You can't give one of anything. It's like overkill, you know.
Right.
And so
right.
That's
right.
Just my opinion.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, reflection. That reflection is a big word in there. There's a lot of reflection in what I do, because that's what I'm always looking back. And, you know, so there you go. Hope that answers that.
It does. It does answer the question. Please share some more of your work. I mean, again, that's the most important thing.
Okay, now I'm going to be serious. All right. I know it's hard to believe, but I promise. This is called Maybe Upon Those Back Roads. We hit them often to explore, or maybe just to escape the bullshit I once considered hell. Now it bleeds more twisted paradise, the laughter with love, two fools together, and an image that haunts me all the same. You know I can never live without you, you said to me as we sat, parked underneath a blanket of stars on a cold December night. There was only the truth and our love between us. We were a moment I often try to erase within my dreams, that soothes as a honeysuckle-laced breeze on a hot summer night. Shit gets old and people screw up themselves. As they break the hearts they desire to capture the most, the drugs, the affairs, it's fucking enough to destroy most, and the shit that keeps me up at night and drove a wedge between us. Maybe we lost that part of us, that somewhere still does exist as a moment in time. Maybe somewhere upon those back roads, two people still remain intact. An evergreen moment of what should have remained. As we travel in two very different directions, hands out the window, reaching in silent understanding to one another, the wind carries our truths eternal. Good night, sweetheart. There you go.
Wow. Please read another. Read another.
All right. Wow, you are so rapid fire. Actually, you are demanding. I'm gosh, no, I'm just joking. I don't mean to joke so much. That's just me.
No, no, no.
Okay.
Hey.
All right. This is one.
As you are. Right.
Thank you. That's why I like you.
Yeah,
we are new best friends.
Yeah, but,
and we're best
friends.
We're friends
we
on
are.
Facebook. That means everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
it's official. Yeah. Anyways, it's this is from an upcoming book from Soma. It's Once Upon a Nervous Breakdown. Shameless plug. And it's called Cry for Answered Prayers. I watch the sunrise, as often I did on those long binges. I waged a war with myself and that page. I never settled for shit. If I got drunk and penned nothing, that was fine by me. If I wrote through the night only to cast it all aside, that was even better. I wasn't trapped by expectations. There are none. I had published. It's not a badge of honor. I crawled through miles of razor wire and broken beer bottles to only realize it held little reward. We sacrificed our souls for a vast majority to ignore. I kept on moving and was taught more from fist and boot than from a kiss and a well-intended lie. You can't help but become a bit hardened by kissing the pavement on a steady basis, and eventually you become much like those bastards you once did despise. Now I understand the truth of a situation, and now I get freedom is an overused word these days. I let the currents take me as they will. You can never fight change of any kind. Remember, before you complain, you wanted this. There you go.
Wow. Do you think that you were meant to be a poet?
Well, I don't think you want me flying an airplane.
Okay.
Because I have no direction, and it's hard to follow the interstate all the way to the next destination. No. You know, in all honesty, and like I said, I'm not making light of poetry. I love poetry.
There's no need to say that again. There's no need to say it again.
Okay.
I know.
All
I
right.
know. I know your heart. I know your heart. So.
Well, thank
man.
You. Thank you, sir. You know, I always love poetry, and it was always there. You know, from a little kid that was messed up, I just always connected with it, and I always absolutely loved it. And that's the absolute truth. You know, I was kind of like a bookworm, and I got lost in the page, and those writers were, you know, that's where I learned. That was my school, was really learning from them, learning from the greats, learning from Poe, learning, you know, later on from other great writers, not just poets, like Salinger as well. You know, it's what I always wanted to do, you know, and I always admired writers like Hemingway, people like that. I've always wanted to do this, you know, and I wasn't always encouraged.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
So, yeah, it's not there. My family did, but it wasn't always, the encouragement wasn't always there. So,
right.
Yeah, it was, I feel it's just what I love to do, you know, and thankfully there's a lot of people who are really encouraging, and no matter what, at the end of the day, it's been a good trip. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. I'm very happy with it. I'm very grateful.
Do you belong to a writing group? Who critiques your work? No one critiques your work.
No. I never did, and that's not knocking that. I understand
okay.
that some people do. That's how they start, and I never knock that. People kind of maybe get a misconception from my writing because it's a little bit gruff, you know, it's harsh. It's not meant to be. It's just me as a person. No, I don't belong to any kind of writing groups. I will say that I definitely want to give a big hello to my friends at the magazine I run, Under the Bleachers, has been probably one of the tightest groups of friends I've had as writers. Brian Quinn Flanagan, K.W. Peary, Scott Simmons, who's also one of the youngest editors I know at 21, who runs the Dope Fiend Daily, once a fantastic name. You know, and Mark Anthony Rossi, those, that group of writers is probably, I share more with them writing wise. They have been like, they become like brothers I never had. Once is, I really, you know, thank you to them because I lost quite a few. And, yeah, that's probably the only group I belong to. So it, yeah. And, but still, it is good to have that. You know, if you have writers you respect to, and happen to be friends, it's good to kind of, you know, bounce those ideas off other people. There's nothing wrong with that. And say what they, you know, if they'll give you an honest opinion, there's nothing wrong with that. Honest criticism is not a bad thing, you know.
So. Well, speaking of that, please share one more before we go.
Okay. I'm going to, this is just dedicated to writers everywhere. I mean, you know, not to be hokey or anything like that. It's called The Page, The Writer, and The Hours Alone. I had abandoned my truths long ago for a well-polished lie. Told myself this wasn't a job, when in truth I worked more hours at this than any job I had ever clocked into. Lost friends along the way. Found rivals to be bitter fools who indulged their jealousy instead of crafting their page. I spent endless hours never looking back. I knew I was alone, so why worry over anything but that next set of lines? Does tomorrow thrive on a dream or work? If you're a true writer, you will be far too busy to give a damn to reply to that question. Never work a day at what you love. This wasn't a job. It was my marriage. It is my friendship and my pain. It is what I gave up all my hopes ever at ever having another to share my life with for. It was a choice, and with every choice, the writer must be willing to suffer the consequence. I have struggled and existed off nothing. I've had a beautiful woman to share my bed, who only desired my same dedication given to her. But I chose the emptiness to craft another line in my life's continual isolation. There's always a chance, no matter what they will leave. The work will always remain. I dug my grave and chose my path. This is dedicated to those who truly understand the sacrifice and gave all, even to fail and receive nothing in return, to true writers and hopeless fools alike. So there you go.
Wow. To writers everywhere.
Yeah, I know. I probably messed that one up a couple times. I'm sorry, but, you know.
No.
You know, I tried. I'm
just processing the words and the strength in which you shared it. That was great. That was great.
Thank you.
You know, usually my last question of the evening, when people hear your work, they usually want more. What's next for you as a poet? What's next for you as a poet?
To be honest, as a poet, you know, to me, tomorrow is never certain, especially with my life. Just try to put the best work out there possible. Right now, running my own press. Whiskey City, of course, and just put the best words I can out there possible, you know, because ultimately that's what I care about. You know, this is what I love. And also on the other note, like with places like the Rye Whiskey Review, getting other writers out there as much as I can possibly, because that's what matters to me. You know, I'm definitely not egomaniac. I just believe in poetry, and I believe in writers in general, you know, and I think great, great words are meant to be read and meant to be seen. So if you can push it out there and you can help somebody, and even the coolest thing is when you get to publish somebody that nobody, he's not been published before. That's the most fun, because you know, you make them so happy, you know, because after all that rejection, you know, we all know how it is.
Oh, yeah.
That acceptance is, and that's
such a that's a reward. That's a true reward in itself, to be honest.
Right.
So, yeah.
Well,
so.
I'd like to thank you for being my guest. It's really been a treat tonight to listen to you share your work, to listen to you laugh, to listen to you cry. I've enjoyed it.
I've had a great time, Michael. I mean, I thank you for letting me be on the show. I really have enjoyed it.
And I'd like you to return in the fall.
I will be more than happy to be on here because I think
We're
a natural pair. I'm just saying, we got it.
Okay.
So yeah, I will.
Well,
I'll
right,
be more
friend.
Than happy.
Well, thank you
all
very
right.
much. All right, my friend. Well, to everyone out there in the world of poetry who are listening, good night, and good night to my guest, John Patrick Robbins. And that's it for this week. Thank you very much. Take care, everybody. Good night.
Take care.